Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. GM Jesse Bowen, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, ma'am. I am doing totally awesome, and I'm excited to be hanging out with you and be a part of the launch of your your new show.
I hear you. I'm not going to lie. I've had so much coffee today because we just got back from the Gary Lee event in Houston, the Living Legends 25th anniversary event. And you know what, I've been to a lot of these events, but people in Texas, so they really jack up the partying. I don't know what it is about people from Texas. I can't keep up with them, sir. And they're probably twice my age, but it was all good. I just,
it was a great weekend. You know, congratulations. I know that you received an award. So what was the award that you received?
I got two. Editor's Choice Award, and that put me in the Sport Karate Museum, and also something called Karate Angels, which that's the biggest one for me. Karate Angels is someone who contributes to make a difference in their community. I really want to tell Gary Lee I'm very honored for that, Professor Gary Lee. And something else, I actually shared it with someone that I've done some writing with, a long-standing, well-respected writer in martial arts, is Keith Yates, and he's also out of Texas. And the funny thing is, GM, I actually wrote my first major publishing back in 1997. It was one of, you remember those idiot guides? They had them to everything. I got commissioned to write. I got commissioned to write the Complete Idiot's Guide to Taekwondo, and because I am a Tung Soo Do practitioner. We brought in Keith Yates, John Corcoran and I. Corcoran helped me get secure that deal, actually. We brought in Keith Yates to actually write the practical, the technical stuff of Taekwondo Times, because that's not my art form, and I wrote the rest of the book, all the philosophical stuff. That was 20 years ago. Never met the guy. Knew he was a great guy. But I actually met him this weekend for the first time in 20 years. So... Technology is amazing. I mean, I put out an entire major book and never even knew my co-author until this weekend. I finally met him, and we took some pictures and shook hands and stuff like that and gave him a big hug. But he's a great guy. Keith Yates is a great guy. But I just thought that was an interesting story and a highlight of my weekend at the event in Houston for the Living Legends event. So anyway, I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, it was, you know, Keith, he's actually featured in the Who's Who book this year, and he just became this weekend. It was great, my first time meeting Keith also, and we've added him on as a board of advisor member. He has a lot of information on writing, on publishing, so we're really, you know, preparing for the 18 Who's Who book, and I think he is going to be a really big asset in our coordination, design, and moving forward in that.
Right. And I believe I'm also on your panel, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes,
am
ma'am.
I?
You are a board advisor member. So, you know, this is going to be a phenomenal year.
I thought that's what you told me. So, absolutely, and I do have some feedback. That was a well-needed, the Who's Who was well-needed. Years ago, John Corcoran was the first to come up with it's called the Complete Encyclopedia of Martial Arts. It's called the Martial Arts Sourcebook, years and years and years ago. And, of course, John Corcoran, I call him Corky, he's been my mentor for 20, 30 years already, and he established actually me and Keith as martial arts writers. Both of us did, like I said, 20, 30 years ago. But I know that he came up with the Martial Arts Sourcebook, and he spent countless hours, years trying to compile all that information. In fact, I believe John Corcoran is also in your Who's Who book, the same edition as I am. That's this year's The Legends edition. I saw that when I was doing your write-up for Taekwondo Times magazine. And I'm honored because, you know, he's my mentor. So you got a lot of, you really do have a lot of legends in this year's Who's Who. Absolutely.
And that's the reason why I think, you know, your show, and we talk about inspiration, this is where inspiration is that when you are around these people that have already been pioneers in the martial arts, they've done things, they have supported martial arts to be in what it is today. And, you know, we are part of that, you know, through your writing, through the events that I've held. You know, we are part of the history that goes into the martial arts, and this is a reason for it. The blog radio shows, you know, Professor Gary Lee, directly from the Sports Karate Museum, we're talking right now, with all the things that's happening in the world, you know, we need some inspiration that we're not focusing all the things that's wrong, but we are inspired to focus
right.
on all
Absolutely.
The things that's right.
Absolutely, and this might be a good time to introduce my show and who I am, if you don't mind me taking a few minutes. This show is called Karen Eden, Master of Inspiration, and that's been my long-running forte, evidently, since my writing is probably the first to be recognized in our industry is very philosophical. You know, there's a lot of writers, and, you know, Keith himself, he's a great writer, but we have very different styles, which is why John Corcoran has both of us doing different things. Because we, you know, you don't, just like there's a million different martial arts, there's a million different writing styles. It's not all the same. And my forte has been the inner aspects and the inner values of martial arts for well over 20 years. I've been in martial arts for 27 years. And I just have a way of taking everyday occurrences sometimes and turning them into, I hope, to be valuable martial arts lessons 4 books later. And so I'm very appreciative of the chance to also take my inspiration live and voice it on radio. And I just would like to tell you a little bit about myself since we are starting the show. I actually have quite a radio background, 12 years GM as an air personality. And these were all commercial radio stations in many cities, including major markets. When you do broadcasting as a career, doing major market is kind of like saying I've arrived because it's the bigger cities and it's the bigger money, it's the bigger audience, the bigger ratings. So I started doing radio at the age of 15. It was actually illegal for me to work at 15. So I had to spend the first 6 months of my career basically working for free. They called it training. I called it working for free. And that was in Roanoke, Virginia. That's my hometown. It was a little daytime AM gospel country radio station. And, you know, by the time I graduated high school, I was already working at some of the main stations in that market, Roanoke, Virginia, Roanoke-Lynchburg market. I guess it's a medium-large market. It's not a major market, but it's not bad. And then I just got a better job and a better job, and then I went to Major Market Radio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where I started my martial arts career. And then from there, I got into television. And then I got into Major Market TV. I got a contract, had an agent out of New York with NSB and Stock, got a contract with Fox News, and then I got transferred to Fox News out here in Denver, and I had a 5-year contract with them. And that's why I'm still in Denver, because then I was married and got pregnant and didn't want to just tote my kid everywhere, because that's what you do in that business. You know, you're always traveling and having to move and get another job. So I slowed it down at that point and focused on a lot of writing and my books and things of that nature. But that's kind of my broadcasting background. So I am thrilled. Listen, of everything I've done, I've always loved radio the best. It's a great way for me to showcase my personality and what's in my heart and look really bad, GM. Like right now, you know, I'm sitting here and I look really bad and nobody's going to know. So that's why I like radio.
That's right.
Oh, man. Listen, we had fun this weekend and just keep it in line with the inspiration. You know, as you know, Gary Lee's not kidding when he said living legends, because these were the trailblazers of martial arts and putting martial arts in the map as far as fighting, winning tournaments, and, you know, we're talking 1960s and 1970s, some of these old-time fighters showed up at this Living Legends event. Big names. You can name some of them, sir. I remember right off the bat, I spent a lot of time with Johnny.
Right. You know, we had, of course, we had the great one, Linda Denley.
Jim.
You know, when Linda walks in the room, and it's like, you know, there's nothing else in the room but Linda Denley, you know. You know, because Linda she was a legend.
She was a legend. And even predating Linda is Mikey Rowe. And you talk about lighting a room up. She set that dang room on fire. So, you know, it's because she's got to love her. Last thing I said to Mikey Rowe when I left is, listen, I'll do anything to make you happy. Just don't yell at me anymore.
Now, she does have a very pronounced voice when she's letting you have it.
Yeah.
And all those people, it's better to be on the right side than the wrong side of any of them. But, you know, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the excitement of being around those people. You know, we can go back when we didn't have telephones in our homes. We can go back when we didn't have plumbing in our home. But when you go back and you realize how raw martial arts was, you know, we're talking about in the early 60s, so we're really not talking about a long time ago, how martial arts was at that time and where we have come to. And guess what? The sky's the limit to where we can go. You know, Taekwondo is an Olympic sport, and we have karate moving that way. So, you know, it's unlimited.
I've always said,
where we can go.
We're going quick. We're moving quick. We're coming a long way very, very quickly. And it's almost like even this weekend you're seeing representations of different eras. You saw the people from the 60s, and it took them longer to get up from the table, but they got up, and they went up and they got their award. You know, the 70s, 80s. I competed in the 90s. I mean, nowhere near the level that these Trailblazers did. You know, I competed mainly in Tungsudo tournaments across the country and a couple of World Tungsudo tournaments because that's all I know was Tungsudo. But, you know, it just seeing the difference in talking, sitting down and talking to these legends, comparing how it was for them, especially the ladies, the women, comparing how it was with the women then and how it was with the women when I was competing and then some of the ones that are still fighting that were there, you know, it's really come a long way. I mean, it's just, you know, even in the 90s, there was so much more progress that needed to be made. You know, you had all these divisions broken down for the men, right? You had men, their weight division, their height, their age, you know, their rank. And then women, it's like, y'all go over there and fight. You know what I mean? I fought some huge women that should have fought with the men. They were so big and scary. They didn't have it broken down any other way except rank, and sometimes they put the ranks together because there just weren't enough women that wanted to fight, even in the 90s. So I think with the turn of the century, you know, especially, a lot of progress was made, and I know that the ladies today, I mean, they still have to capture their win and be very good at what they do, but there's a lot more out there that is offered to them than what you and I had, GM.
Well, you know, that's exactly right. I think that one of the eras that we're going to cross into, because there's a change that's getting ready to happen, and I don't know if you can feel it, but, you know, with our society and all the different things that's going on, and I'll tell you what I did experience this weekend. I talked to several martial artists, and, you know, when I talk about this spiritual change, you know, because a lot of these martial artists are getting older. And, you know, when we don't sow our wild oats as much, then they seek a spiritual side. And I really saw that this weekend in talking with quite a few of the martial artists. They are spiritually inclined. You know, they have developed faith. You know, many of them I talked to that, you know, God was one of the things that came out of their mouth. I mean, they're in, you know, that's what I mean by a spiritual sense. And I think that in the future, we're not talking religion. We're not really talking religion. We're talking about people that have reached another level. And, you know, everybody will reach that level at some point in some time. And it's not about fear, but it's really about understanding that they're led by a higher source. And that higher source is what keeps you with that code of ethics that you are doing everything right. You know, so like the Ten Commandments of the Bible.
Right. Well, if you think about it, though, you know, when you study the basic philosophy of martial arts, I mean, we go over this in Tung Chido when you're a white belt, is, you know, body, mind, and spirit, the spiritual balance triangle, body, mind, spirit. And we spend a lot of time in martial arts honing our bodies. We get educated. We study, whether we go to college or just study our art. That's not a problem with the mind. But the spirit has always been the weaker leg, and that's a shame because it's the most important leg. Like my grandmaster, C.S. Kim, used to say, one day, you know, your body's going to go, and you can't do what you can do now, and your mind's going to get feeble. But your spirit, that's going to last for eternity. So you need to work on spiritual matters in your life. And I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, you know I'm a very spiritual person. And one thing about this weekend that really struck me that I appreciate is, especially a lot of the Texans, they were in no way, shape, or form ashamed to say, I give credit to my Lord and Savior, or I thank God for the promotion. You know, there were three testing for ninth Dan, and I think every one of them mentioned something about thanking God for helping them get as far as they did and protecting them and fighting. And, you know, I was real impressed with that. I'm not uncomfortable with that at all. And it makes a big difference when you see so many martial artists, I'm talking high-ranked martial artists and champions, that are bowing their head before they compete and praying to God and thanking God after they get promoted or after they win. Hey, GM, that was something that I've never seen that before, not to that extent and that level. So I think it is time. You're right. The tide's turning. Things are changing. And those of us who are higher ranked, and especially if you're a martial arts instructor and you're out there listening, I want to encourage you to really push that last spirit leg, because this is something. Look what happened today. My heart is just, you know, heavy. It's even heavy to do this show. I feel it after the shooting in Vegas today. And how many, we were just there a couple months ago. How many martial artists go to Vegas every year for the Century Martial Arts Super Show? That could have happened to us easily. And, you know, it almost gives you a heaviness even to have to do a radio show like this and be inspirational. We all feel it. But listen, all of us being able to seek out spiritual matters is going to help make not only our personal lives a better place, but where two or three are gathered. You know, even the Bible says, this is Jesus Christ speaking, of course, and I am a Christian, but it says, where two or three are gathered, and in my name, I will be there in the midst of them, because what it does is it changes the atmosphere for everybody. So, you know, and certainly prayers to those in Las Vegas. That's so scary. But as martial artists, we're going to have to slate and be the leaders. You know, sir, when we were in D.C., and you let me speak for a few minutes there, and God bless you, I appreciate that. You let me promote my Cherokee Nation duties and helping with the Native American youth and that kind of thing. But, you know, one thing that when you let me speak, one thing that I really appreciate is you let me hopefully make some kind of impact. And the first, I don't know if you remember, but the first thing I said was, my brothers and sisters in martial arts, we are responsible for making our community a better place. Because if we don't do it, who's going to do it? We have to make sure our young people turn out to be good people. I don't care if you charge, you volunteer, it doesn't matter. Our duties are to help our young people become better people in this world. I totally believe that's the mission of every martial arts instructor out there. And, you know, if we could all think that way and go on that path, just like I know you and I have talked many times, you know, if we can get people to move in the right path with the right mindset, we are going to make this world a better place. What do you think?
Well, you know, as martial artists, and that's what my big push is now. There's been, you know, so many things has happened since we began this journey with the books. And the book was supposed to be one thing. It's turned out to be something else. And, you know, I'm very, you know, grateful for all the people that have been in the path to support that. But that's what we're talking about. There's a then in the movement. You see, because when we're thinking about us ourselves as martial artists, we really have to think about who we are as an individual. I have to be at a place myself in order to help you. And we have to begin to teach people, our students, about how they work. In other words, how their mind works. I did a call last week with Paul Dreyer, and we were talking about the you. And this is where, in studying mindfulness and studying meditation, it allows us to be able to get within ourselves. This is the most natural thing to do, because you're not able to go to sleep at night unless you lower your brain frequency. By getting our students to spend some time, 5 minutes at the beginning of class, to close their eyes and erase everything that's happened during the day, forgive the day, and then get up and do their martial arts practice. And then at the end of class, have them to sit down and mentally go over what they learned in class, in that form, in their kumite. Going back over that, mentally enhance that. And the discussion this weekend was, about the martial arts, students quitting the martial arts. In my leadership class tonight, we were discussing that. And why do people actually quit, before they get to green belt, or, especially moving up to black belt? Why do they quit?
Uh-huh.
And
right.
one of the
right.
biggest
right.
reasons is because they lose their vision. You get your uniform, everything is super hot. You want to show it to all your friends. You're really connected. And that first 30 days is the most critical point. But after that, do we continue to build the image of black belt? Do we build
right.
the image of success? So that's one way for us to be able to change the minds of, kids. If we're teaching kids that are going through things, whether it's at home,
right.
whether it's at school, being bullied, it doesn't matter. You got to
right.
reach out and give them the tools to work from the inside so they can be strong
right.
from the inside. And, the physical
right.
thing is going to come.
I agree with you. And I know we're talking about Fortes. That's definitely yours. You work with a lot of schools and you're doing a lot of business. And from my element of it, of being inspirational, all sports are good as far as focus, a discipline. My own son, who is 15, of course, I did force him to take martial arts. I taught him from the time he was 4 or 5 years old, and he knew he just had to do it, and he stuck it out, and, I was tough on him. I didn't let him test for first-degree black belt until he was almost 13, and I did that for a reason, because he's the instructor's kid, and he had to be good, and he had to be the real thing. And I was not going to pass out anything. I knew that he knew in his mind he was good, because that mental aspect is so important. But, he made it. He's up to second degree, and he's so busy with other sports now, football, wrestling, and powerlifting, and all these things. But I feel confident that he has everything that he needs as far as the mental aspects of martial arts to help him not only go through other sports, but also to get through life. But I do know wrestling is great for mental fortitude and focus and discipline. It's hard. I mean, you got to be on the mat by 5:45, 6 o'clock in the morning during the school year and wrestle all day. It's nerve-wracking. It's much like a karate tournament, only it's every weekend. Sometimes twice a week you do that. These sports are all good. But the discipline, the difference is between the sports that my own 15-year-old son does and what I teach in martial arts. Is I really do look for those internal aspects of my students. I need to see that their head and their heart is into what they're doing and that they're not in any way, shape, or form getting off key or off balance with the internal aspects of what comes with traditional martial arts. You and I both know GM. Martial arts was born out of a spiritual religion, Buddhism, whether it was from the original countries of China, Korea, or Japan. These were Buddhist monks who were trying to defend their territories, and that's where the forms came up. I mean, I don't have to tell you the history of it, or probably most of the martial arts high-ranked instructors out there, but there's a spiritual aspect to it anyway. And it really does break my heart when I go, and I do a lot of travel, and I sit on a lot of head tables. It breaks my heart to see that it's so lost, and it has totally taken a backseat to business. And I think we're headed for trouble if people like you and myself and others out there who understand the internal aspects and the spiritual side of martial arts don't try to reach out and make an effort to change the course of how I see it going in many, many ways. You know, I'm willing to pick my battles. I see a lot of crazy stuff. You know, I don't really like a lot of stuff because I'm like that. I'm always devil's advocate when it comes to something traditional, and that means a lot to me. But the one thing I cannot compromise on is making sure that your students have that internal aspect and the spiritual reasoning behind martial arts, and because it's only going to help them in their life, not just in their training. And you know, long after football's gone and wrestling's gone, all those things that are gone, martial arts is still going to be there for my kid. And, you know, it's still there for me. And, you know, I'm not a spring chicken. You know, I'm 210. And, no, okay. Okay, GM, I'm getting lost in my own conversation. But you see my point.
Exactly. Exactly. But this is the thing that we have to do as martial artists. I really feel if we want to make an impact, you have scouting, you have all these other programs that work on making impact. I think in the martial arts world, you know, we have the kick, we have the punch, we have the black belt that everybody respects. And when you say that I'm a black belt, certain things are expected of you people. There's an attribute of black belt that people are looking for. So as martial artists, we need to show that. But, you know, in teaching, you know, so many kids are, and this is what we have to come to, you know, ADHD and all these other things, you know, people, kids, they just need, we the adults need to slow down. Our worlds are too fast. We have computers. We have iPhones. Our world is just so fast. We need to find the tools in order to be able to slow things down. And this is where, you know, I've been working on the Zen mind, body mindfulness and meditation training for martial artists, is that it's time now that we realize that there's something special about each one of us, and it's locked up on the inside, and we have to find the key to be able to unlock it, and the key itself is in our own head. So we have to unlock these powers, these powerful change of vision. Everything around us was an idea or thought in someone else's head at one point in time. And now, you know, we're on this blog radio show. This was an idea of somebody's. You know, mine, we're here because it was my idea. But the technology was there. And then everything will come to you as you actually begin. But we really have to understand the power that each person has locked up within themselves, that all they have to do is to open their mind to the opportunity to explore and to learn. So it's there, but it's in a raw format that you have to learn about the mind.
Right. Absolutely. And you make a good point, because when you look at these living legends that fought in the 60s and 80s, and even in my era coming up the ranks in the 90s, you know, we didn't have the phones and all these electronics that were, people are constantly viewing at when they have a spare moment. And I love it. I mean, I've made a career out of broadcasting and communications, and, you know, I'm not in any way knocking it or anything, but I'm just saying, because we didn't have it, we really had time to dream, and we had time to think and visualize and be creative. And, you know, even just driving and looking out the window, that helps make you creative. It helps you see the world around you. And our kids aren't getting that anymore because of technology. I'm not going to fight technology. There's just no way. It's here. It's here to stay. But we've got to find a way to, like you said, have our kids understand that they've got to take time to be creative. They've got to take time to be spiritual. I tell my kid this all the time. Take time to be spiritual. Get one-on-one with God. You've got to take the time to do it. Just like, you know, GM, you and I and everybody else, we took time to train, right? It takes time. If you don't put that time into your spiritual reasoning, then you're not going to be a spiritual person. Doesn't matter what it is. It takes effort and time and a seeking out, find these things. And I really think this new generation that my kid's in is going to have a problem with that. And, you know, it's just, they're so conditioned from a toddler on with the electronic toys and everything else to have instant gratification that I think creativity is going to start to take a back seat with that. So I'm hoping as martial arts instructors will be able to pick up the slack on that and teach. And when parents drop their kids off for that hour or whatever it is, we'll be able to work with them. And like you said, meditation is a tungsudo, I mean, must before and after class. We do that. You know, and a lot of people are scared of that. Listen, you know I'm a Christian. I don't, meditation is not like we're going to, it's not levitation. I get this with parents. I don't know if you do. It's like, oh, are you going to sit there and on and levitate off the ground? No, none of that stuff. I even tell my kids, because I have a Christian martial arts program, we're meditating, clear your mind, say a prayer if you want. You know, but you've got to take the time to do that. So many schools don't do that. They just don't do that anymore. So that's, you know, that's a very good point. And I hope that we'll be able to see the people in our community, the leaders, to answer that call. Absolutely.
And when we think about meditation, we're not, Karen and I both are Christians, but we're not talking about who your faith is or what you worship. We're just talking about the most natural thing that you do. You cannot go to sleep at night unless you enter a meditative state. But we are talking about a deeper connection to your thinking and your behaviors. If every person that's in prison could have a moment that they could have thought about the outcome of what they were going to do before they actually did it, I would say probably at least 49% of them wouldn't have done it. So that's what we're saying, right? In meditation and being mindfulness, you have a chance to now mentally rehearse your future, that kata, that tournament. You can rehearse anything and begin to bring that to you.
It's true.
When it comes to your faith, it's whatever you want to believe in.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? When you're talking about, people don't realize when, even before competitions, we used to do this, mentally go over every move in that form in your head. That really is a powerful thing to do. The mind is so incredible. I mean, to me, I feel like people always say I have an incredible intuitive ability, and I do. But, you know, people don't, I don't think people understand. Everybody does. Because we were all created in the image of God, we're automatically going to have a lot of those instincts like being intuitive, you know, the sense of knowing things are going to happen before they happen and stuff like that. But being able to really tap into your spiritual understanding, who you are and why you're here and what you're supposed to be doing, that's a whole new level right there. That's not a white belt level. And something that I highly encourage people to seek out. And again, let me say, DM, I'm a very devout Christian person. My martial arts is Christian. For me, there's just Christ. And other people want to do their other thing. I'm not going to argue with them, but I'm saying this from a standpoint, seek out what you need to make sure that before you, like I have in my martial arts inspirational group, before you leave this planet, you've left your imprint. I mean, what's more important than that? When it's my time to cross over, I want people to look at me and go, there's a woman who made an imprint in this world before she left. I mean, there's nothing that could be more important than that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you are, because, you know, you have your inspirational books, and this is the importance of being an author or writing, and anyone can do it, to share their story. I know you have several books that Century carries, and this is when we talk about inspiration. You know, listening to motivate. Go to YouTube, listening to a motivational speaker that's talking about setting your goals. Someone who's talking about self-discipline, time management, whatever. continue. You know, why don't we talk just for a moment about your share about your books before we end the program?
Oh, I'd appreciate that. Oh, is it time to go already? Man, that was quick. Okay, let's do that. I appreciate that. I talked a little bit earlier about my first major publishing, The Complete Yogi's Guide to Taekwondo, Simon & Schuster Macmillan. Those books, it was hard because it's not just me expressing from my heart. It was their format. It was Simon & Schuster Macmillan books, and they have a format. And you will go by that format, or you won't get that done. So but still, though, you can see a lot of my personality come out in that book. And like I said, co-author Keith D. Yates, very, very well-respected, and most people know who he is anyway. Now, I have two other books through Century Martial Arts. They publish them and they pick them up. I Am a Martial Artist is the first one, and it's just stuff that I observe on a daily basis and turn into martial arts lessons, and you don't even have to be a martial artist to get it. I have many people who don't study martial arts that tell me they were inspired by that particular book. It sold big time all over the world, and it did really, really well. And because of that, they actually spun off into a product line called I Am a Martial Artist, posters, mugs, T-shirts, everything, all that gifty kind of stuff. That was all through Century Martial Arts. That was my first product line through Century Martial Arts. And then the follow-up to that was They Call Me Master. And that's the latest Century Martial Arts. It's more heartfelt inspiration. A lot of the chapters in there are geared toward martial artists who may be thinking about instructing. And, again, it's very easy to read and understand. It's not – I'm not a techie writer. I don't write tech stuff, technical stuff. And it became popular and also spun off another product line with the books and the T-shirts and all that kind of stuff. All this available through Century Martial Arts. And it was so nice to see the boss, Mike Dillard, there this weekend. I know you and I both sit down and talk to him. And I never not take the opportunity. I don't see him that much. Matter of fact, I've seen him more than I've ever seen him the entire time I've known him, but I always want to take the chance to thank him, you know, for helping to promote martial arts. He was the first to do it. He's got an incredible story, too, Mike Dillard, if you ever asked him about it. But anyway, those two are available through Century Martial Arts, and they are the world leader in all martial arts supplies. And then I have another book, GM, that has absolutely nothing to do with martial arts. But it's inspiration, and it's called Will I Ever Feel Happy Again? And it's more of an inspirational self-help book. I actually did have a female master come up and thank me for that book, and I was shocked because I didn't know that she would even mention it because it is not a martial arts book. But it's something that comes from my heart, and it's something I felt like I had to do. It was something that touched me personally. It has to deal with surviving a suicide. And suicide is a big problem today. And I just felt like it was a way for me to try to encourage people who are left to pick up the pieces after something like that happened. So that's what that book is. And if you've ever gone through it and know someone who's struggling with surviving a suicide, I hope you will pick up that book, Will I Ever Feel Happy Again. I researched it, and I did a lot of work with it, and it hits home with me, like I said. So anyway, sir, I still have two columns every month. Taekwondo Times is my Woman of the Times column, and MA Success is the Century Martial Arts Magazine, Inspiration Ovation. Back page inspiration. Matter of fact, if you just take their magazine and flip it to the back page, that's where they put my column. And I was really insulted at first. Until they're like, no, we did that on purpose. We want the back page inspiration. Kind of like the what we call in TV news, the kicker, because that's what keeps people hanging on, you know, until the next issue. It just ends up kind of in a good kick. So anyway, sir, that's pretty much what I got going on now with my writing. I am just humbled, so humbled that, you know, I could take something like the poem, I Am a Martial Artist, and go on social media and see how many people have quoted it, remembered it by heart, and use it for their black belt tests, plagiarize me, whatever. Hey, I'm going to take the high road on it and say thank you. Okay, sir. Are we done? Do I need to say more? You sound like you're like, hurry up, hurry up. Are we good?
No. Hey, this is your – hey, ma'am, this is your show. I'm just happen to be one of the first guests on your show, and I'm very honored. And, again, everyone, we are looking for martial artists that have a message of inspiration. We really are a network right now. We have our radio station, which plays 24 hours a day, and inspirational stuff that goes on all morning long. Music plays in the evening. There's so many things there. And, you know, Karen had mentioned Century Martial Arts, meeting, you know, Mr. Mike Dillard this weekend, my first time meeting him. You know, but you have companies like Century that really reach out and help martial artists that's trying to do good things. They carry the Who's Who book fours. You know, they do a lot of different things in there. Century's been around for a very long period of time. I know my business has been open for 37 years, and pretty much in that 37 years, Century, and you know, has been our main supplier of martial arts supplies and all of that. But like I said, everybody, you know, Mr. Dillard has a story. It doesn't matter where you are. You can be on the bottom. It just means you're on the bottom. When you decide you want to be on the top, you can then be on the top. I think that's good for me tonight.
Very good. Very good. GM, honored? Absolutely, sir. So grateful for the availability to do this on radio. I thank my Lord and Savior, just like everybody else who believes in their Lord and Savior. And I just want to say, you know, may we go forth and make a difference in this world, and I hope you'll tune in next Monday again. That is 7 o'clock Mountain Time, and I know that's 9 o'clock Eastern Time for Master Karen Eden, Master of Inspiration. We'll be here. We'll get some other guests in, and maybe you can even call in if you're out there and hit us up with some questions or whatever you have in your heart to do. So with that, I'm signing out as well, GM. Thank you, everybody.
What's your web address, ma'am, and contact?
Yes. Well, on social media, Karen Eden Herdman. I do have my Master of Inspiration group. Thousands of people have gone to that group to see more of my inspirational writing, and that is the same as the radio show, Master Karen Eden, Master of Inspiration. I would love to have you join us. That's the best way to meet me, I guess, up close and more personable, because I'm like everybody else, I can't set my phone down. So I'll see you there before I'll see you on an email. So probably just say hit me up on Facebook if you're on Facebook. If you would like to email me, though, my email address is KarenEden@CenturyLink.net, CenturyLink, CenturyLink.net. And I also will be glad to hear from you in any way that you would like to reach out.
And we have started the nomination process this past weekend in Texas for the 2018 Who's Who in the Martial Arts book. It's going to be back in Washington, D.C. on August the 3rd. So if you have people that are have lived a life that needs to be told, then please, you know, go to our website and make your nominations. And, yeah, ma'am, I'm going to let you close out your own show.
All righty. Thank you, everybody. May you be inspired this week, and we will see you next week. God bless you, and have a good night.